We resume in Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Talking about the early church, let's begin reading in verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So their close walk with Jesus produced a healthy fear of God. And you know, the closer we are to Christ, the greater our reverence toward him will be. There's no lighthearted attitude toward Almighty God in those who are close to him. There's a deep reverence and a holy respect. 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And so they shared everything they had. Jesus had been good to them, so they were good to each other. 45, and it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all men as every man had need. Jesus was more important to them than their possessions, which is why they shared everything freely. Things were secondary. They were things to be used, not things to be hoarded selfishly. 46, and continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And so these early Christians went to church every single day. They went to church. And they were having a great time doing it, too. Their life was all about Jesus. And that's why they were filled with so much joy. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The word of God was being proclaimed, the Christians were living it, and they were filled with the joy of the Lord as a result, and consequently, other people started coming to Christ as well. The best way to see others saved is to be on fire for Jesus yourself. Those who have a heart for truth will be drawn to you. If you're full of the Holy Spirit and on fire for Jesus, those who do not have a heart for truth may be repelled by your love for Jesus, but at least you will be giving people a clear choice before they die. Chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now twice a day, public sacrifices were offered at the temple, and that is also the time when faithful Jews would gather to pray. And Peter and John joined them in prayer in the tabernacle. And now remember, the book of Acts is a transitional time. So, yes, they're Christians, but they probably still see themselves as Jews. And so they're going to the temple to pray along with everyone else. 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered into the temple. Being lame was all that this man had ever known, and probably all he expected to know. I suppose a good day for him was when kind people would carry him to the place of worship, which also provided him a better opportunity to receive some charity. Verse 3. He, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Peter and John did not just happen to walk near this poor man. It wasn't an accident. Nothing ever just happens to God's people. Everything is an appointment and a test to see how we will handle things. 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And so instead of looking away, as many people probably did, didn't want to be bothered by a beggar, you know. But instead of looking away, Peter and John looked at this needy person. They turned toward him to help him. And in the process, they have raised this man's expectations. Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. The man was eager. He was confident that Peter and John would give him something. Why else would they want his attention? And consequently, he was expecting. But he was not expecting what he was about to receive. God had something for him that was much greater than he ever could have imagined, let alone expected. When God doesn't answer our prayers the way we would like, it is because he has something better for us. Now, it may not always be short-term better, but it will always be long-term better. 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Jesus healed him. But like the Bible says, he still had to rise and walk. He had a gift, but if he doesn't rise and walk, it's going to be dormant and it'll be a waste. God's gifts are sometimes wasted because the person who has received them either doesn't care enough or is afraid to use them. Some people are afraid to use their gifts. Some people are too lazy to use their gifts. Some people are indifferent and they don't use their gifts, and it's all a big waste. So he says, "You're healed, now rise and walk. Use it." Oh, he won't have any problem doing that, believe me. Verse 8. Look at this. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Right now, this is the happiest man in the entire world. Oh, what a great God we have. He is such a kind God. He receives no pleasure from people being miserable, which is why he gives us laws, which if we keep them, will make us happy. Oh, he's such a good God. He likes to make people happy. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And all the people who formerly saw this man begging now saw him jumping around and playing like a little child. What an exciting thing. What a happy time. 10. And they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So all the people who formerly saw this man begging now saw him jumping around and playing like a little child, and it was just so much fun for everybody because this former beggar had been like a human landmark for decades, sitting in the same place by the temple begging for years. But now everything is different because Jesus has helped him. And I suppose surprised doesn't describe what the people felt. It's true that they saw the miracle, but it was probably one of those God things that are so powerful that they don't even register, even though you know you've seen it with your own two eyes. Verse 11, and as the lame man who had been healed held unto Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Notice the affection that this man had for Peter and John. And of course, God deserves all the credit for the great miracle, and Peter is going to give him that credit shortly. But Peter and John were appreciated too because they allowed God to use them. And I'll tell you, the more we allow God to use us to serve others, the more people will appreciate us as well. It's true. And that's not a bad thing either, as long as it's kept in proper perspective. Verse 12, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk?" No one can do anything for Jesus without the power of the Holy Ghost. Our good is a product of God's grace. And that's why anytime we do anything righteous or anytime we say the correct thing, it is God who deserves all the credit. 13. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus Christ, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." Peter is speaking the truth with boldness. He says, "You people, you Israelites, are responsible for killing Jesus, God's Son. It was all you, because even the Roman governor wanted to release him, and you opposed him. You just stood proudly in your sin." Verse 14. "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. The people, remember, demanded that Jesus be crucified and the murderer Barabbas be released." Remember, the people shouted, "Murder the Son of God, set the murderer free." That was their sinful demand. And you can tell an awful lot about people by the choices that they make, because everyone has a free will. 14. "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Killing the Prince of Life, or the Author of Life. Killing the one who gives life and sustains life is moral insanity. I mean, something that ridiculous, something that immoral, something that hideous can only be done by depraved souls. 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." By faith, Peter declared healing for this man in the name of Jesus. We will never see God move. We will never see an answer to prayer. We will never see a miracle if we don't have faith in Christ, and therefore never ask for the things that we need in Jesus' name. Verse 17. "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." And they did. I mean, and ignorance is a real problem. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Ignorance causes people to do stupid things. Ignorance of God's word, ignorance of truth, causes people to do things that will ruin their souls. The consequences of biblical ignorance is one of the reasons that I'm compelled to teach the Word of God. I want to get into the Word of God so that I'm not ignorant, and I want to be used by Jesus to help others as well.